Feelway Mulatto on Cape Talk.
And it's lovely. It's been 3 weeks since you were in the studio, and we missed you, and it's nice to have you back.
Thank you. I've missed you guys too.
Then why didn't you come in? No, I'm not going
to. I was trying to save the world.
Okay. Well, it didn't work.
I know. Well, but some decent news has come out about the region that we like to talk about. You know, the IMF every 6 months puts out their regional economic outlook. And, you know, mid last month put out that we've got a 2.6% expected growth for this year and 3.5%
for the continent.
For the continent. And they look at sub-Saharan. Mm-hmm. So they exclude the Middle East and stuff, and 3.4% for next year. The good news about that is that in April, their last report had put us at 1.4%, which was the lowest growth the region had seen in 20 years.
What happened to, I mean, obviously that's an aggregate, so
yes,
there'll be some that are expecting recession, and there's some, what is the highest growth rate predicted for a particular country?
It's around 7%.
For?
It's one of the East Africans, I think it's still Rwanda.
Okay.
So what's happened is, you know, as you say, it's a mixed bag, and there are a lot of one-offs that have made things better. The one being obviously that many of our export partners have actually recovered, so a number of oil exporters, for example, have done a little bit better. And then secondly, that, you know, as particularly Nigeria crawled out of recession, and then the East African areas and South Africa and other Southern African areas that were in drought were starting to recover. The problem is, of course, we've got a double-edged sword with that recovery of the rest of the world, because everything starts to look a little bit more attractive elsewhere. So even as we sit here at this 3.4% for next year and the 2.6 for now, you know, the big economies, South Africa and Nigeria, dragged us down. You know, if you exclude them, it would have been 4.4% this year and 5.1% next.
But with the recovery, with the oil now at $64, $65 and looking like staying there for a while, surely the forecast for Nigeria must change.
Unfortunately, the 2017 outlook is not that much is not that much better, although there has been. And that's the trouble, you know, and I suppose that's one of the big things I wanted to talk about today, is that we had these big expectations over the last 5 years of, you know, doing much better, of either finding deposits or, you know, the future of Africa, you know, being able to get future revenues.
Natural gas off the East Coast,
you know,
and so on, yeah.
And you know, a lot of countries and in aggregate, what we found is, if you recall, about a decade ago, about $100 million of our debt for the highly indebted poor nations and then also the Paris Club debt for Nigeria, which was about $18 billion, got forgiven. And we kind of had this clean slate to start afresh. And not a decade later, you know, the foreign debt exposure is so big. There's not a single country, every country but four on the continent has increased its debt exposure, and particularly foreign debt exposure, since 2013. And what's happened since 2013 to all of those commodity prices is that every single one of them has dropped. You know, oil troughed at 70 in 2016, coffee, tea, iron ore, copper, and only three of those, of tea, coffee, and coal, are expected to do better next year. So what you found is that we've been carried by the non-resource heavy countries, which would be interestingly, you and I are constantly talking about the exciting bright lights. It's your Rwandas, it's your Kenyas, it's your Ethiopia, who, even though they have resource exposure, are not thoroughly dependent upon it. And that's what really carried the aggregate upward. The trouble being now, but all of us have this massive debt exposure, and we're kind of in a situation much like we saw ourselves in Europe in 2011 to 2013, where you got a lot of debt, you better grow really fast, but you need usually to spend in order to grow. And so everybody needs to tighten the belt. And at the same time, over the last couple of years, particularly the last two, we've seen a large number of political campaigns, you know, presidential campaigns that have come through. And I think there are only two I can think of, and it was maybe Tanzania and Zambia, where the president stepped in and said, we're going to be cost cutting. But, you know, particularly we had incumbents that were trying to hold on, John Mahama in Ghana, Good Luck Jonathan in Nigeria. There was the sense of sort of spending, you know, the promises get made.
Mm.
You start increasing wages, you start making the promises. And as you saw, Ghana found itself in big trouble with the IMF not long ago. South Africa, we want everything but to be in trouble with the IMF, but the people who watch our policy start to get quite concerned. And the IMF happened to mention in this particular report that Nigeria and South Africa's policy stand out as concerns. Nigeria more from the fact that their monetary policy isn't flexible enough, you know, that the exchange rate doesn't move enough for them to respond, and South Africa for the reasons that I think many of us know.
So, I mean, with these relatively low growth rates, there's a concomitantly low increase in employment. And I don't know what the unemployment figures are, whether they are known in the way that South Africa's are known, but
they are. I can look at that in the ILO data, but I don't have it right in front of me.
But in general, we have a situation where more and more Africans have less and less chance to get a job.
Correct. And would have previously been more and more dependent on the state, which now has to focus on higher and higher interest repayments. So what you find, and one of the reasons I haven't seen you in a while is, you know, I was doing some roundtables with central bank governors, policymakers from around the continent, is that there's this broad sense of, we, the monetary policy guys, kind of have to carry our countries for a while. And the complexity with that is that politicians, and usually fiscal policy, and certainly consumers, us on the ground, we have this unbelievable and impossible expectation that interest rates must both be low and our currency strong, which is economically impossible. You know, we've got this new Fed chairman in the Federal Reserve in the States, who will probably continue what Janet Yellen has been doing. He'll continue to hike interest rates, which makes it difficult for our interest rate differential against South Africa, because we need to keep ours high enough to attract flows into the rand.
Mm.
But at the same time, we can't hike them because the consumer mustn't be pressured. We can't hike the interest rates because we need to keep the consumer able to spend. The one area where we might have a bit of a bright light, which where you would usually in your standard Keynesian, is that private sector would start investing. And I think
not while Jacob's the boss.
So this is the struggle, right? So again, in those bright light countries that you and I tend to talk about, where policy is a little bit clearer, you've seen the investments in agri, in infrastructure, in the non-resource sectors,
in tech in Rwanda. Yeah,
you see, and what we have is, you know, this kind of defiant dependence on this mineral sector. I mean, I know financial is much better, but when you look at the policy tension, it tends to be there, and it becomes very difficult because the cash balances are actually quite high, and you can understand for a corporation that you would stubbornly not want to put your money in. But the question becomes, for the short and medium term, you know, how do we avert the potentially inevitable, keep the employment at least stable, if not rising, and allow consumers to make it through what's about to be a very, very tough environment.
Thank you very, very much indeed, Rafulwa Maloto, Principal at Ambassador Advisory, and I hope that we'll be talking again at the same time next week. But she might go off and save the world, who knows?